Well, today we are continuing in the series we started in January called Stronger, and we're going after stronger faith this year, stronger marriages, stronger families, and we're finishing strong today in this series by talking about how we can be a stronger church this year in Jesus' name. So who's excited about that? You guys ready to get stronger together? Amen. How many of you know when you get saved, when you accept Christ, you become a part of God's family, right? But you're not just saved from something, you're saved for something. You're saved on purpose, for a purpose, to serve God's purpose in His kingdom this side of eternity. And so we are our calling, what we're called to, the purpose that we each have, we are called to do it together. We have a collective calling, a shared purpose, a great co-mission from Jesus Himself. Matthew 28 says it this way: "All authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them." Just did that, didn't we? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age, is the great promise that goes along with that. This is our mission as God's family on this earth. When we become a part of the family, we get a job in the kingdom. We get a commission by our King to turn around and help other people come into the family of God, and also help the people who are in the family grow up in Christ and grow up in their faith. I love the way 2 Corinthians 5:20 says it. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, His representatives on earth, as if God were making His appeal through us, because He is making His appeal through us. Jesus is the hope of the world, but the local church is His body in a given community," which means the local church is God's vehicle of salvation to its local community. The local church is God's plan A for the local community, and there is no plan B. In other words, if we don't tell them about Jesus, who will? If we don't show them His love, who will? No one. It's on us. This is our job. This is what we're born for. This is what we're reborn for. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes. Yes, this is what it's all about. So who are these people in our area? Well, you might be surprised to learn this, as I was, that within a 30-minute drive radius of where we're sitting right now, there's over 90,000 people. According to the U.S. Census, only 28% of those people said that they attend church somewhat regularly. That's any type of church, any denomination, Catholic, Protestant, doesn't matter. So if only 28% of 90,000 go to church, that means there's over 64,000 people who do not go to church in our mission field, which is a very good indication that they do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. That's our mission field. This is why we exist as a church. We started a church about almost coming up on 6 years ago, so that we could reach thousands of people in this area for Christ. That's our goal, to just keep reaching more and more and more people, and as we reach them, to help them grow up in Christ. That's what we're all about as a church. And man, God has been moving. God has been working. We are doing it, and we're doing it effectively. Our first year as a church, I was thinking about this week. I was blown away by this. Our first year as a church, we had, I think, about 20 decisions for Christ, and we had 8 baptisms, our first year as a church. Y'all, it's January. We've had over 20 decisions for Christ, and today we're celebrating 17 baptisms in January. In January. In January this year. Because as we've grown, as we've reached people, we've helped them do what Jesus says, to step in, to get involved. Our mission statement as a church: we want to help people experience the difference Jesus makes and then make a difference in His name. And the way you make a difference is you get involved in your local church, whether it's this church or some other church. You get involved and you make a difference by getting involved in helping other people experience the difference that Jesus makes. And so I want to talk about how we do this as a church in our context today. And I want to talk about how we can get stronger and stronger as a church. Because check this out. This is so awesome too. Last year, 2019, the calendar year 2019, we had over 150 decisions for Christ in 2019. And we celebrated 66 baptisms in 2019. So if you do the math on that, 52 weeks out of the year, that's about three decisions for Christ and one baptism every single Sunday here at Resonance Church. The Lord is adding to our number weekly, every single week. When we gather, lives are being impacted, lives are being transformed. I hope that's not lost on you. What this is, revival. Right? It's like, man, we want to have a revival. We want to have a three-day thing. We're going to call it a revival. We hope revival happens. It's like, this is what revival looks like on a weekly basis. This is sustained revival. We're called to live in revival. We're called to live in Christ and not need revived, you know? And it's happening here. It's awesome. But man, I long for the day when we have over 365 decisions for Christ in 1 year. You know why? Because then we'll be like, man, that's biblical. That's Book of Acts. The Lord adding to their number daily, those who are being saved. And I believe that's where we're going. And I believe that we're going to get there if we will be obedient to Jesus, and if we will do what he says in his word, if we get stronger as a church family. This calling to do that, that's bigger than any one person can do on their own. It takes all of us working together. In fact, if I could use one word to describe it, it would be this word, maturity. Maturity. My son Judah is 10 years old, and he's pretty athletic, agile. He can do stuff at 10 years old that I could never have dreamed of doing at 10 years old. He can do, you know, backflips on the trampoline. He can do forward flips standing on the ground. Like, he's super agile, strong, little athletic kid at 10 years old. What's amazing is if he just keeps eating and normally and just doing normal activity, he doesn't even have to like have a regimented workout routine. If he just eats normally and does normal activity, his body is going to continue to grow and develop and build itself up for about the next 10 years or so. And when he's 20 years old, he will be exponentially stronger and will be able to do so much more in life, physically speaking, than he can right now. It's called maturity, when your body builds itself up and continues to mature. Well, the same thing happens spiritually in a church family, because another word for the church is the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so I want to show you what this maturity looks like in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Because if we're going to get another word for strength is maturity. As your body matures, it gets stronger. And as the church matures, how does a church mature? When the individuals in that church mature in Christ and grow in their own individual faith. And that's going to mean that you do something out of that. And I want to show you what it says in God's word, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. This is what we call the fivefold ministry. These are leadership positions in the church. They're also spiritual giftings. Okay? So these are leaders. And God, Jesus gave the leaders of the church, watch this, to do this. To do all of the work so that nobody else ever has to do anything. Y'all just come in and have a nice service and then go home and just live your lives, right? Is that why Jesus gave the leaders in the church? No. Listen to this. He gave the leaders to equip, which means train, teach and train his people for works of what? Say it with me. Works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Would you say it with me? Become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to become mature as a church family because we'll be stronger in our faith. We'll be stronger together. And the way that we do that is when leaders equip people to do works of service. The leader's work of service is teaching and training and equipping people to do their works of service. Like, that's how this works. That's what we're supposed to be doing, okay? Now, I like the baseball analogy, how there's sometimes player coaches. You know, I think Ken Griffey Sr. was like a player coach for a while, wasn't he? Anybody? Jack's helping me out? Yeah? Okay, all right. I'm not off on that. So pastors and leaders, we're like player coaches. We're like coaches, and we're still players in the game right alongside you, right? But you all are the players. You're supposed to be in the game, doing works of service. As Galatians 5:13 says, we serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. And listen what it says. He's wanting us to become mature in this. Verse 14, then we'll no longer be infants. He's talking about infants in the faith, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the what? Would you say it with me? The mature body. The mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And verse 16 sums it up. From him, Christ, who is the head of the body. Okay? The head. Any local church, the pastor, whoever the leader is, they're not the head. Jesus is the head. They're just part of the body. Okay? Jesus is the head who tells the body what to do. And he's telling us what to do in his word. Right? And so when we do what the head tells us to do, cool stuff happens, and we build up each other, and we build up our own faith, and we build up the church, and we get more mature. And maturity looks like growing bigger physically in a human body. That's growing bigger as a church, reaching more people, making more disciples, you know, people converting to Christ, coming to faith, decisions for Christ. But then maturity is also growing up in the faith. Those people who come to faith in Christ, we teach them to obey everything that Jesus has taught us. And it says this, from him, from the head, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. And here's the key part. Here's the key phrase. Here's how the body of Christ builds itself up in love. As each part does its what? Say it with me.
Work.
Work. Work. You know, work is holy. Work is pre-fall. Genesis 1 and 2, he gave Adam work to do in the garden, right? And so y'all are like, really? Oh, man, I thought heaven was just going to be playing harps and chilling out, you know? Work is holy. We have work to do while we're... That's why when you get saved, you don't vanish. It's like, where'd he go? Oh, he accepted Christ. He's in heaven now. Oh, that's cool. You know, like... you accept Christ and God... Actually, heaven comes in you. Eternal life starts the moment you accept Christ in you. You get reborn. You're a new creation bound for heaven. And heaven comes in you, because heaven is defined by the presence of God, and the presence of God comes in you. And then you're still here, aren't you? And you've got work to do. You've got a job to do. And that's how the body gets built up, as each part does its work. Now, who's the parts? 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a what? Part. Each one of you, which means each one of you has work to do as each part does its work. The work is Galatians 5:13, serving one another in love. 1 Peter 4:10, each one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Part of you maturing in Christ is starting to use whatever God's given you, natural talents and abilities, your time, your finances, your spiritual gifts, okay, to serve others, to build up the church. Building up the church means both helping people come to faith and teaching them to obey everything God has commanded them, and then encouraging people and building them up in their faith just through encouragement. It means all of those things. If you're not using what God's given you to serve people in your local church context, somehow, some way, you're not maturing in your faith, and you're going to get stuck, okay? And I want to show you what this looks like. A pastor and author named Jim Putnam developed this awesome resource. He calls it the discipleship wheel, and I want to walk through this very quickly because it's a really good, it describes this process using the maturation process of the human body as an example. So and spiritually, we start off dead, okay? Because, you know, spiritually speaking, the scriptures say, if you don't know Christ, you are dead in your sins and transgressions, right? Until you know Christ. And so you hear the gospel, you get born again. Jesus said it's like being born again. It's like being born again physically, but it is actually being born again spiritually. And so you become a spiritual infant. Infancy is characterized by ignorance. It's like you know the gospel and that's it. You get reborn. Woo, now what? Like you may not even know what the Bible says. You don't even know maybe what the Old and New Testament are. You might not know anything, right? And that's okay. And so, you know, think about a little baby. They don't know anything. They have to learn everything. They have to learn how to talk, learn how to walk, learn what's going on in the world, learn information, learn knowledge. That's what you need when you're a spiritual infant, right? And so you need to read your Bible a whole lot. You need to not miss a service and get sermons and just talk to other Christians. Get in a group. Get in a group so other Christians can speak into you and help you, and you'll learn from other people here in your church. And you grow into what we call spiritual childhood. Now, childhood is characterized by selfishness. Now, think about this. Children can know a whole heck of a lot of information. They can be extremely smart, right? And so if you ever seen the show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Right? Some of those kids, I'm like, wow, I'm out. Like, I'm out. Okay? I don't know. I'm not smarter than fifth grader, apparently. Not these fifth grader genius kids anyways. And they can know a lot of information, but childhood is characterized by, they're still, some of you have some really smart kids, but they're probably still pretty focused on themselves. They just don't tend to think about other people that much. And that's how it can be as Christians. And here's the tragic thing. Physically, you grow because your body, God designed your body to just grow no matter what. Spiritually, you can get stuck in these. I know people who have been spiritual children for decades. Decades. It's all about them. It's selfish, you know? And they know a whole heck of a lot of information. They might know more information than I do. But they're selfish. Now, I wouldn't say they're not going to heaven if they know Jesus. They're just immature, spiritually speaking. And so how do you progress out of spiritual childhood? You start serving. And you progress into what we call being a spiritual young adult. That's teenage to young adult years, as you know, physically speaking. And eventually, as a late teenager maybe, or young adult, you start realizing, oh, mom's not going to do my laundry forever for me, right? I need to be responsible for my own life. I need to get a job. I need to provide for myself, right? That's you spiritually going, oh, I need to feed myself. I can't expect other people to make my spiritual meals all the time for me. You know, you want to commune with daily with Jesus. And man, I'm going to tell you something. If you are surrendered to Christ and you passionately go after him with all you have, you can mature extremely quickly as a Christian. I know some Christians who get saved and they are all in. And man, I meet them a year later and I'm like, whoa. Wow, you are a powerhouse in the kingdom of God, right? Because they're all in. And Jesus, man, he supernaturally quick growth. You know, he can do that, spiritually speaking. And so, but you realize, oh, it's not, I'm seeking Jesus for myself. And man, I want to serve. I want to, when you're saved and you're like, man, it's not all about me. Oh, wow, I want to help other people know what I know, right? I want to make a difference by helping other people experience the difference, to experience what I have, you know? And when you start thinking about others, that's when you're maturing into that young adulthood stage. And then you mature eventually, hopefully, into spiritual parenthood, which is characterized, now physically speaking, that's characterized by reproduction, right? And I don't think I need to explain that physically, although for some of you younger kids, if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask your parents when you get home. And so, spiritually speaking, it's you make an intentional effort, and you're intentional about, I'm going to start doing things to serve in such a way that I help people become believers, and I want to help teach people, you know, everything Jesus has commanded. You know, maybe becoming a group leader in our church context, or maybe serving in Res Kids and helping. Man, I want to help kids come to faith and teach and train them up and know everything. And man, you start to share your faith at work because you want people to come into the kingdom. You start inviting people to church, right? You start thinking more mature because you want people to experience what you have experienced. A couple of scriptures. I love this description because scripture talks a lot about Christian maturity, you know? 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Okay? I want to make the point, though, the way that we progress out of spiritual childhood, out of spiritual selfishness, and we start to mature spiritually is by serving. By serving one another. Serving is how we show that we're maturing spiritually. When we get involved and we do what Jesus is calling us to do. And I know we have so many volunteers here at church. People who are involved, people who are serving on a regular basis. And I realize everybody's at a different stage in your journey. Some people come here from other churches and maybe you were super involved for like 10 years and then bad stuff happened and you're just hurt. And then you need a season of rest. You know, you really do. People need a season of rest to just chill. You need, if you're new here, you need a season to go, is this really my church home? Right? We go through those seasons. We go through seasons where you're serving so much, you get a little burnout and Jesus is like, come away with me and rest for a while, you know, and that type of thing. We need seasons of rest. We need seasons of rest. We need seasons where we take breaks. But they're seasons. And I got news for you if you're new to faith, if you're new to church. Serving isn't just, in fact, we're changing what we call our servants here. We used to call them volunteers. Volunteering is something you do once, one time. I volunteered at this one thing one time. It made me feel good. It was cool. That's volunteer, right? That is not what we do here, okay? This is, you're part of a family. And you have a responsibility. Serving isn't just something you do. It's part of who you are as a Christian. Being a servant is our Christian nature. It's our new nature. It says in Philippians 2, Jesus, who being in very nature God, denied himself and took on the nature of a servant. The nature of a servant. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:43-45, he said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I mean, think about that. I want you to think about this for a minute. Jesus is not just a king. He is the king of all kings. But think about what Jesus is like. What type of king is he? He's so benevolent, so good, so kind, that the King of all kings is a king who washes the feet of his servants. Wow. Wow. That's what he's like. That's his heart. He's a king who has the heart of a servant. But he's a servant who has the heart of a king. And that's who we are called to be. Because we're his sons and daughters in the kingdom. So we're royalty. We're a kingdom of priests, man. We're a kingdom of rulers. We're a kingdom of leaders. But we're called to rule with the hearts of servants. We're called to serve with the heart of a king. And so we're calling our volunteers now our servant leaders. Our servant leaders. Because some of you might be like, hey, I just serve here. I mean, I'm not a leader. I mean, come on. Whoa. Feels like too much. Whoa. Are you a mom or a dad? You're a leader. What's a pastor? A leader who shepherds people. The word pastor means shepherds. Comes from Peter. Be the shepherd of God's flock that's under your care, right? If you're a mom or a dad, I got news for you. You're a shepherd. You're like a pastor. You are a pastor. You need to be shepherding those children, right? You're a leader. And listen, say all you do is greet people or prepare coffee. You're like, oh, I'm not a leader. You are a leader. You're preaching sermons about how to be a servant with your life. And you are leading people. People are watching you and they're seeing an example. They're seeing Jesus in the flesh through you, through your service. That's better than hearing me preach. They're seeing Jesus in action when you serve. You are a servant leader if you serve here at Resonance Church. And so I just want to thank real quick all of our volunteers who serve here. All of our servant leaders who serve here. Thank you. That's right. Because, man, you make this place happen, right? You make this place happen. You make it possible for us to have over 20 decisions for Christ and celebrate 17-some baptisms today. You make that possible, okay? If you weren't serving and doing your part, this body would not be as effective. We might still be surviving. Hey, I'm the pastor here. Gonna preach a sermon. You know? That's why so many churches are ineffective, because there's a whole lot of parts in the body of Christ that aren't doing what the head's telling them to do. Imagine, you know what the head, you know? My head's telling my arm to move right now, but it's not moving. I guess it's a part of my body, but it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And so I can still go through life, but I'm not going to be as effective, right? And so you matter here. You have a role in the kingdom. You matter. You matter. Okay? Even if nobody sees you on a stage, even if no one knows your name, you're like Mike. You know what I'm talking about, right? Be like Mike. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Michael Jordan, the GOAT, greatest of all time. Yes, amen. Some of you young kids need to listen up. You need to go watch old film footage, man. LeBron's good. I love LeBron. He's not the GOAT, all right? I'm just throwing it out there. Jordan's the GOAT. Actually, I'm not talking about Jordan. I'm talking about Mike Collins. Mike Collins. You probably don't know the name, but he's the third astronaut who held down the fort in the Apollo 11 space shuttle when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were walking on the moon. Without Mike, the shuttle would have drifted off, Neil and Buzz would have been stranded, and then died. Mike once said, it took over 400,000 people to land humankind on the moon, from engineers to computer programmers to the people who sewed airtight spacesuits. You might not think that you're not that important. You might think you're not that important because no one knows your name, but I'm telling you, you are necessary and needed in the kingdom of God, no matter how small your role may be. Imagine one of those sewers of spacesuits is like, oh, I'm just not going to do, just leave the last few stitches off, you know? And then in the total silent vacuum of space, poor Neil and Buzz get their eyeballs sucked out of their sockets, right? And die. Man, I'm telling you, your role here matters. Your part here matters. And you know why this church has continued to grow and continued to get stronger and continue to reach more people? It's because of people like Mike, whose names you don't know. Like most of you don't know Bobby. Let me tell you a little story about Bobby, who serves in Res Kids. Bobby's an animal, all right? A month or so ago, maybe 2 months now, early on a Sunday morning, like 3 a.m., he posts in our Resonance Church prayer group on Facebook, I'll pray for my wife, Stephanie. She's having emergency surgery on her pancreas. I think it was actually her gallbladder. Mass confusion. I was like, what's wrong with Stephanie? You know, and we're praying. You know, I see it when I get up. I'm like praying, you know, and all this. And then, but after our first service, I text him. I go, Bobby, how's Stephanie? Is she all right? He goes, I don't know. She's in surgery. I'm here. I'm serving in Res Kids. You know, I just figured, you know, she's in surgery. I can't talk to her or anything. You know, kids wanted to come to church. I just figured I'd sign up to serve today. I figured show up, serve. Then we'll go. I'll let you know after second service when I see her how she is. I was like, Bobby. I had two thoughts, conflicting thoughts at the same time. First of all, what the heck are you doing here? Why would you do that? My second thought was, praise Jesus for people like Bobby. Oh my goodness. It's incredible. Might not know BJ. She's a lady who's like, I want to serve here. I want to serve here, but I have debilitating health issues. And when I wake up, I never know if it's going to be a good day or a bad day. Some days I can't get out of bed. I've missed some Sundays because of that. I think I can serve maybe. And then I wake up, I'm like, oh, not going today, you know? And she's like, so I don't want to ruin a Sunday or leave you guys stranded on a Sunday if I wake up and can't serve, but I want to be involved. And we have a position in Res Kids where they prepare curriculum for everybody else. And that's through the week on your own schedule. You come in and do it however you want. And she's like, I'll do that. And so BJ does that with debilitating health issues. You might not know Chris. Chris gets diagnosed with cancer, starts going through treatments that make him sick, still shows up to serve in Res Kids. I could go on and on and on. People whose names you don't know. But I'm telling you, they are making a massive difference on the weekends here. They're creating an environment where people can come and experience the difference Jesus makes. And that's what it looks like to mature. I mean, those are some mature people, you know? And listen, if you ever serve here, we don't expect you to come if your spouse is having emergency surgery. Please feel free to go to the hospital, you know? But man, I'm telling you, these are some mature people who have some obstacles in their life. And they're like, you know what? I'm going to serve anyway. This is a calling. This is what it looks like. I know as a young man, one of the things that kept me from getting involved in serving was like, well, you know, I'm an inspired guy. You know, I want to do great things that change the world, you know? And then I'd look at some of the things my local church at the time needed help with. I'm like, oh, you need help stuffing folders for worship, chord charts. Oh, even on weeks that I'm not personally singing or playing. Oh, okay. I don't really want to do that. It doesn't sound very fun, you know? But that's what it looks like. You know, Jesus told a story about servants who the master entrusted with a little bit. And the ones that did good, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Now I'm going to put you in charge of many things. That's what it looks like in the kingdom. He tests your character through the small things, and he trains you through the work he's put in front of you to get you ready for the larger things. Because if he just puts you in the larger thing, the larger ministry, the big thing right now, you wouldn't be able to do it. There's no way I could have started a church if I had come out of college and been like, let's start a church. No way. I spent 5 years serving another church up in Detroit, Michigan, learning about leadership, learning what it took to be a pastor, to start preaching, and all that. That was necessary for me to be able to do this, to start this church 5 years later. And so that's what it looks like in the kingdom. You got to start with where God puts you, with what he gives you to do. And it is important. He takes it seriously. Jesus knows how important every little thing is in the kingdom. In fact, I was totally humbled by this quote by Mother Teresa one time. I love the greater things scripture. You know, greater things. Jesus said, those who believe in me will do greater things than I've been doing. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Let's go after that. Come on. Yeah. And Mother Teresa said one time, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. And I like the way Pastor Mark Batterson says it. If we'll do the small things like they're big things, God will do the big things like they're small things. And I'm telling you, that's been the story of our church, where each part, week after week, is just doing their little thing, their little part. And together, we've seen God use that and do mighty, mighty, mighty things. And so I want to close today by just letting you know what it looks like to get involved here and get on our dream team of difference makers by becoming who God calls you to become, which is a servant leader in the kingdom. I want to show you what that looks like in our church context. And so if you're new with us today, this may not apply to you if this is not your church home or if you're still feeling things out, but you're going to, you know, if you are feeling things out, you'll get a good look. It's kind of like a family meeting right here, okay? And I want to walk through this. And this is about to get very practical, but make no mistake, it is profoundly spiritual. Just like in Acts 6, when they needed to set up a team of people to collect money, count money, buy food, distribute food and money, do interviews with people to see who needed it the most. That's what that team did in Acts 6. That's what Acts 6 is all about. Extremely practical stuff about church organization and specialization of giftings and callings. But it's profoundly spiritual because verse 7 says, so once they implemented this strategy, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Some people are like, oh, the church isn't a business. Jesus didn't die to start an organization. Yeah, you're right. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. But it's a body. Your body is not an organization, but it's an organism. And your organism is highly organized. Highly organized. You have all these different systems, all these different parts working together. Skeletal system, circulatory system, muscular system, and skin to hold it all in, right? Working together to make you you. So, and it, to enable you to do what you do, right? Whatever it is you do. And that's how the church is. As a church grows and develops, we get more and more organized. We get more and more specialized if you're a healthy church. And we take this very, very seriously. This is profoundly spiritual. If we don't get this right, it breaks down. If you don't get this right, the larger a church gets, the more chaos there is. And the word of God stops spreading because you have all these internal fires. Go read Acts 6. That's what it's all about. There was complaining and bickering, arguing. Not because of sin. It's the problem wasn't stop complaining. No, bad things were happening because they weren't organized and people weren't using their giftings because they were a huge church and they hadn't organized and helped the apostles hadn't yet learned how to equip the saints to do their works of service. Okay? And so the larger we grow, the more organized, the more specialized, the more we have to engage people in doing their work that God is calling them to do. And so you have a job to do in the kingdom. You have a job to do, and I believe in your local church, whether it's here or elsewhere, you need to be deeply involved in a local church. I'm really obviously very passionate about that. And so if you're going to do that here, usually we'll send you to meet and greet after each service. That's an opportunity to hear what I'm about to walk through here for a few minutes. And this is how we're going to end today. And I want to walk, there's a folder under your chair, and you can, I would ask you to hold off getting that out. I'll have you get that out in a second. But I'm going to walk through just highlights of, don't get it out because you'll be reading what the stuff in there instead of listening to me. I'm going to highlight the important stuff in there. There's a wealth of information in there, and you will get inundated and lost, and you'll have to call in Jesus' name to come back to reality. I don't know, but sorry, that was a bad pastor joke. Anyways, and so first of all, we're kind of rolling out today. We developed these months ago, what we used to call our volunteer standards. It's the last page of the volunteer handbook in there, which is now our servant leader handbook, which are now our servant leader standards. But we already printed these. And so we have standards for you to get involved here. Okay. First thing is we want you to be a believer in Jesus, and that's both to protect you and to protect the people who come here, okay? Because when you serve here, you're an ambassador for Christ. You're representing him to the people who come here. We have people every week who are brand new to church, brand new to Jesus. When they look at people who serve here, whoever you are, they're going to say that's what a Christian looks like, okay? And so how can you represent Jesus if you don't know him yet, right? But also, that sends a message to new people, hey, listen, we don't want something from you. We want something for you. We want you to know Jesus. Don't worry about getting involved till you know Jesus, right? Just come and receive. Come and hear the messages. Grow in your faith. Keep walking on that faith journey. So number one, we want you to have prayed to receive Christ and either been baptized or you're planning to be baptized, that type of situation. So you're a believer. That's number one. Number two is like personal walk with Christ. You're pursuing him daily and all that. Number three is like personal holiness, that you're honoring Christ and you're representing him in how you live your life. Now, there's a whole lot of things we could talk about there. I want to talk about just two things that are really important because these are two things that our culture says, no, that's totally fine. And scripturally, it's like, no, that's not how God calls us to live. First of all, your sexual purity, okay? Jesus does, God, well, Jesus too, because he was before the creation of the world and coded designed everything with God the Father. But they created sexuality to be in a marriage between one man and one woman for life, okay? That's God's design for our sexuality, okay? And so if you're living with, even if you're a Christian, so you got box one checked, but if you're living with someone and you're not married for whatever reason, of the opposite sex, of course, then listen, you're not ready to serve here yet, okay? You're not ready to represent Jesus, okay? Also, alternative lifestyles, LGBTQ, okay? If you're here today, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. But listen, scripturally speaking, that's not how God calls us to live in regards to our sexuality. And so I invite you to keep coming. You're so welcome here. We love you. We'll be your friends. We will walk with you on this journey through life. But when you represent Jesus, again, this and you look at the New Testament, sexual purity is pretty much the biggest area of, you know, holiness, temptation, and all that it talks about, okay? And so I'm not saying if you're struggling with those thoughts, you're not ready to serve, but man, if you're like, I live this lifestyle and this is who I am, it's my identity, I would say you need to find your identity in Christ. And if Christ is your Lord, then he defines your identity, and that works out in your sexuality. And so if you have questions about that, email me. I'd love to talk with you. We could get coffee. Love to talk with you through that. But if you're living in one of those lifestyles, that's not how God's calling you to live as a Christian, okay? And so you keep coming. You're so welcome here, but you're not ready to serve here at Resonance Church yet. So sexuality is a big area. And then also, like drinking and illicit drug use, okay? We maintain that scripturally speaking, it's totally fine to drink alcohol. So that's, everybody's like, okay, all right. Woo, because I thought it was okay. All right. but it's wrong to get drunk, okay? And so if you have a problem with getting drunk all the time, you're not ready to serve at Resonance Church yet. Keep coming. We love you. We'll support you. We'll help you on that journey. It's a process, you know. If you want to get free from those things or anything else I've talked about, sign up with a session for our spiritual health team. We're here for you. And then also illicit drug use, obviously, okay? You're like, well, I think smoking weed is totally fine, scripturally speaking, okay? We would say that falls in, you know, drunkenness. It's intoxication of your mind or whatever, and so illicit drug use falls into that. So, again, come on. Guys, come on. This is like jobs are like, do you get drunk? Do you use illicit drugs? Sorry, can't work here, right? You're not ready to represent Jesus to outside people who are coming in, okay? If you're living, guys, this is Christianity 101. We're not like raising this to an impossible level. This is like down here when it comes to personal holiness and honoring Christ with your life. I mean, this is the basic stuff, okay? And then there's a few relational things. If something comes between you and another person, you'll go to them one-on-one, and you won't gossip about it. You know, those sorts of things are in there. Pretty basic stuff. Okay, those are our volunteer standards, what we're now calling our servant leader standards. And so if you want to get involved here, you would sign that form. You're not saying, like, I'm going to be morally perfect, you know, and freak out if I mess up unintentionally. You know, no, it's not what that's about. It's just letting us know, I've read all this, I understand it, and I agree, and that yes. Because the larger we get, it's harder to know everyone on a deep level, okay, when we're just getting to know people. And so we trust people, right? And if you're like, yep, I'm living this way, yep. You know, if you deceive us in some way, that's on you, okay? It will be found out eventually, all right, because we're a family and we get to know each other here. So take that seriously. But you just sign that, turn it in, and then you'll pick what team you want to serve on, okay? And there's a list in there that you can check out here in a few minutes. But basically, there's so many teams you can serve on. We call them our weekend teams. And there's our parking team, guest services team, which prepares coffee, greets people, the ushers who come in and collect the offerings during the services. We also have our worship team, which, by the way, we are accepting audition applications for worship starting today. And so if you're interested in that one's not on the sheet, so just make a note of that. Also, our prayer team, you can serve on there. And our spiritual health team, which is kind of next level, but we provide training, and there's a process we walk with you through. It takes some time to get through, but you can serve on our spiritual health team, which is kind of like next level pastoral counseling and powerful inner healing deliverance prayer stuff. And that really, you want to talk about changing people's lives. It's awesome. And so we have that opportunity. And then finally, last but not least, certainly, we have our tech teams with worship as well, audio, visual, video stuff back there. Also, can we hear for those guys? Turn and look at them and make them feel really awkward. Yes. That's why it's so dark. They like to be behind the scenes, those guys. Appreciate them so much. And so There's those opportunities. And last but not least, our Res Kids ministry, okay? Res Kids is our largest and most influential ministry in this church. I said when we were starting out, we will stop music before we stop Res Kids. It's that important, okay? It's so important because if kids come in here, man, they have trouble paying attention. They're on your phone. They're grabbing a tablet. They're distracting you. They're complaining. You know, you're just like, shut up. Wait till we get home. I know what you say under your breath, okay? Because I'm a dad, all right? And so we don't want you to sin by threatening your kids in church, okay? So you can check them in to Res Kids, and then they have a blast learning about God at their level until sixth grade when they're about mature enough to come in here and hopefully listen to someone like me talking about God. And I'm telling you, amazing stuff happens over there. We have kids get saved. You know, as the kids are getting baptized today, and man, they get saved over in Res Kids. It's awesome. It's an amazing ministry. And then you're able to listen and pay attention in a distraction-free way. And so if you sign up to serve in one of these areas, we provide training. Your first time serving will be training, at least your first time, if not more. And we're asking everyone who signs up to serve, and by the way, if you're currently serving, current volunteers, we're shifting to this new format, and so you need to kind of reconsider, reevaluate today. But we're asking everyone who serves to serve at least 2 Sundays a month, okay, so about half the time you're here, or in our Res Kids, it works out to the same amount of time, but we're going to a new system of 1 month on every week and 1 month off every week. And the reason is our curriculum goes by month, and it will help you build relationships with those kids. Usually same kids come to the same services. And so if you're a first service person in a certain room every week for a month, you really get to know those kids. You're teaching the same theme every week. And I just want to encourage those of you who are thinking about Res Kids, it is not as difficult as you might imagine. You don't have to read the Bible all week and try to dream up a lesson and put it all together. You don't have to do that. We have curriculum that's already prepared. It's all video-based. If you can work a smart TV, you can run it. And you're really more of a facilitator, all right? You keep kids from hurting each other, okay? Then you're like, we're going to worship, you know? Okay, now we're going to listen to the lesson. And it's amazing video lessons. You get done and it's like, okay, kids, what'd you learn? You facilitate questions, group discussion. And they're like, okay, let's pray. You know, you facilitate the prayer. Their prayers will blow you away and inspire you and change your life, you know. And if you want, you can pray for them. And then it's pretty much over, okay. And so that's what it looks like to serve in Res Kids. It's really, really simple. And we work really hard. We have whole staff members dedicated to working hard to make it as easy as possible for you to get involved in serving here, okay. If you sign up to serve, you can sign up and block out dates. Like if you know a vacation's coming up, we have an app that you use to get scheduled. And when you get requests, respond to those. Those are really important. Respond to those. And you can say yes or no. Oh, I can't. I thought I could, but I couldn't. I'm going to hit no. And it tells your leader they can't serve that day. You respond to those. You can block out dates. And so it's a really amazing. It's as good as it gets. I mean, it's as simple and easy and effective as it can be. And so that's kind of what it looks like to get involved serving here. And I just want to encourage you. You might be doing the math in your head. And you're like, man, every other week or, every week for a month, off every week for a month. Man, that's like, and if you do that, by the way, if you serve here, if you get involved, you will highly want to encourage you, serve one, attend one. Don't just come on a week you're serving and be like, well, I only want to be here like an hour and a half, so I'll serve and then I'm going to leave. You miss 1 week here at Residence, you miss a lot. This is where you get spiritually fed, encouraged, you know, interact with the body, and get built up in your faith. It's so important for you to serve one, attend one. So the weeks you're serving, we want you to serve and then come to service. If you have kids, we have this awesome thing called a bonus room, which is just basically all TVs and video games and fun toys and stuff. And so your kids, if you're here for 2 services, serving and attending, your kids go to Res Kids 1 service. They do the lesson, they worship, they pray. Then they get to go to the bonus room, which the kids love, because it's just fun and games. So they don't have to sit through the lesson 2 times. And so we've thought of everything, right? By the grace of God, right? Probably not everything. But most things we've thought of. And it's an amazing system, and it's beautiful. And you make such a difference when you get involved here. It's so, so important. And so you might be doing that math, and you're like, man, that's like twice a month. I'm here for 3 or 4 hours in the morning, you know? Well, I don't know if you remember the old days, all right? But I grew up in church, okay? We had Sunday school first, which was an hour, hour and a half. Then you take a little break. Then you do church for like 2 hours. You were there 3 or 4 hours in the morning. Then you go home, you watch TV, you eat a little bit. Then you come back for 2 or 3 hours in the evening, right? And so you guys got it easy, all right? And so, no, but seriously, we know culture and life gets busier and busier. And we, that's why we do 2 services in the morning. We don't do anything in the evening. We want to make it as effective and efficient as possible to honor your time. And so we've done everything we can do as leaders to make it as simple for you to get involved as possible, okay? And so we're going to close today with a simple prayer time, just maybe 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes or so. It shouldn't take long. And I want to encourage every single one of you to pray, okay? Take a minute and pray. And we're going to do what's called listening prayer. And you guys can go ahead and start that music. And this is a great spiritual practice. I do this several times per day to engage with Jesus on decisions I need to make, okay? Even responding to an email. Lord, how should I respond to this? Okay, and so we're just going to ask him the question, and you're going to do this personally and say it out loud. And just say something like, Jesus, you know, first of all, you want to say, I ask Jesus that you silence my flesh, anything that's of me, silence every other voice. I only want to hear your voice, Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do here? Jesus, do you want me to get involved in this way? Okay? And I just want you to listen for his voice, okay? And if he wants you to get involved, just always ask the next question. Okay, how do you want me to get involved? You know, what team would you have me serve on? And just to give you an idea of what we're hoping and praying for today, man, we're hoping for about 40 to 50 people signing up to serve today across both services. About 30 of those we're hoping will choose Res Kids, okay? Because as we grow, man, that's what we're looking for. I believe God is positioning us today to get stronger as a church, strong in all these areas, because I believe he's readying us for exponential growth. I believe we're getting ready to grow as a church, and we want to be ready for that. We don't want to be playing catch up, okay? And it's important for you to engage. And so I really want to encourage you. And I think if you're a believer here today, and if you know Resonance is your church home, I believe it's time to get involved. That's what I believe. Now, I know there's probably going to be some exceptions. People are just like, I have to work at like, I'm going to have to get up right now while you're talking because I got to go to work. You know, but I understand there'll be exceptions, okay? And that's why it's important to seek the voice of God. Okay, Jesus knows, you know? Jesus knows. And he'll be like, you can't do this. You got this going on, you know? And that's okay. And we trust your decision. We trust the Holy Spirit in you. That's a really important, mature thing to do. And that's why I didn't want to just end and pray and say, all right, sign up. Because I felt like, man, that's me kind of like, I'm passionate, and it might feel like I'm trying to push you a little bit. And I don't want to do that. You know, I want you to listen to Jesus, okay? But I know how important this is. And so pray about this right now. If you're new here, if you need to know Jesus, if you're brand new, if you're just seeking a relationship with God, you don't need to worry about this right now. And I want to ask you to pray this way, to ask Jesus to forgive your sins and say, Lord, Jesus, I want you to forgive my sin. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. In fact, let's pray right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you need to know Jesus, I want you to know he died on the cross so that you could be forgiven, you could be healed in your spirit, that you could receive every spiritual blessing in Christ, this side of eternity. That's what he did for you. And if you know you need forgiveness, if you've got guilt and shame weighing you down, he wants to set you free from that. And if you receive him today, he's going to come to live inside of you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he's been knocking on the door of your heart. It is no coincidence you're here today. He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship. He wants to save you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your God. He wants to walk with you through life and help you every single day. You don't have to be perfect. You trust his perfection on your behalf. And then he helps you change over time. You just need a repentant attitude to say, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to change. I want to walk with God. That's it. And he'll help you. And so if you're here today and you want to make that decision, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now, and I'll pray with you. and then we'll give everyone else a few minutes to pray about getting involved or not. But if that's you, just lift up your hand and I'll pray with you right now. Just say, that's me. I want to accept Christ today. Anybody at all today want to accept Christ? Just lift up your hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Just lift up your hand. See that hand? I see that hand. It's about three hands right now. I see that hand, four hands. Anybody else want to accept Christ today? I see about four hands. Let's, everybody, every believer in the room, let's pray with those who've lifted their hands. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. I give you permission. Make me brand new. Give me your gift of your Holy Spirit. Help me walk with you every day of my life. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And now, you can clap for that. And so here's what we're going to do. We're a little over time. And so I want everyone else to just pray this with me. If you're a believer and you know Resonance is your church home, pray this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, silence my flesh, everything that's of me. Silence every other voice. I only want to hear from you. God, how do you want me to get involved here at Resonance Church? Do you want me to get involved? Do you want me to sign up? Just listen for that. Just take a minute or so to listen. It shouldn't take long. He'll speak to you. Just listen. Just listen for about a minute, and then I'll give you some more direction. Continue in prayer. If you're already serving here and you're like, man, I'm all in and I want to serve every week, and I just pray for our church, pray for the people in this room who are, pray for them to hear from Christ right now, and just pray. Finishing up prayer, we're going to dismiss it here in just a second. We're going to have our volunteer coordinators. We're going to have to change that title. We'll get around to that. And a few of our staff up here up front. And if you know today, like, yes, today's the day I want to get involved, come up and just bring that folder with you. And there's two sheets in there, the standards thing I talked about, and then the area you want to serve in. You can check mark those. A few I mentioned aren't on there. You can just write it down, sign those, and hand that off. And it's got some personal info in there. Take the time to do that, please. And that's how we'll know you want to get involved. And then we'll contact you, and we'll start the process. And thank you so much if that's you. And then if you're not sure you have questions, take that folder with you and come talk and ask a question if you need to do that. And everyone else, if you want to think about it, maybe your spouse isn't here and you need to talk to them, take that folder with you. And go home and pray about it, talk about it. And if you want to get involved later on, you just take that to a meet and greet. You don't need to go to the meet and greet. Just say, hey, you know, I heard that message. I want to serve. I thought about it. Here's this paper. And we'll start the process. And everyone else, you're dismissed. If you don't need the folder, just leave it. And we'll use those again next service, okay? So we'd love to hear from you, connect with you, all of our people up front. You can come up, talk with us. Everyone else, you're dismissed. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.